Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Leva, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to the evening edition of Talking Smooth Jazz. It's Monday, January 17th. I am the Jazz Queen in Las Vegas, Mike Reynolds in D.C. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing okay tonight, sir. A little cold, but I'm all right. I'm all right.
No football game tonight?
No football tonight. No football tonight.
Okay.
At all.
All right then. Good. Welcome to the chat room, Lori.
Now I'm just gonna say
welcome to the chat room. Okay. Cool. Welcome to the chat room, Lori, and we have a couple of guests and others will be joining us shortly, so welcome you guys. If you'd like to join us in the chat room, please go to blogtalkradio.com. Scroll down to the chat with box, the little blue box that says chat live with. Look for Talking Smooth Jazz, and then click on the play chat button underneath the Lynn Roundtree show. You can also call in and speak with Lynn. The number is 646-716-5485. 646-716-5485. This is our third trumpeter this week that we have interviewed. His playing has been described as soulful, funky, and sensual. Trumpeter Lynn Roundtree has shared the stage and or studio with George Benson, Kim, Shantae Moore, Peter White, Tim Bowman, Steve Cole, Donnell Jones, and numerous others. His new CD is called Soul Tree. Lynn Roundtree, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
How you guys doing?
We are doing well. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm up here in Detroit, just chilling, as Mike said. But I'm so happy to have so many people so fond of the music as to have me on such a show as this.
Well, I have to tell everyone, there's a song on this new CD, Soul Tree, that's going to be the first single released. Lynn does a cover of Michael Jackson's You Rock My World, and it is hot. Hot,
yeah,
hot.
It's certified.
Oh, my God, that song is so good. It is so good. So I will be playing that one. I have that, and I definitely will be playing that. But, yeah, Lynn, I'm telling you, you know, sometimes the covers are better than the originals.
Uh-huh.
And you did a great job on that. With the trumpet,
thank you so much.
You just did a great job. Yes, yes, a
well,
great
you know,
job.
With
I love it.
With the trumpet, it's you know, it's tough to do cover tunes because of the voicing sometimes and the pitch of the trumpet to get full value out of the cover that you're doing. So, doing a cover like a Michael Jackson tune, his range. You know, he didn't have to really necessarily sing in falsetto. He could belt everything out, but it was in a higher octave, and that's perfect for the range of a trumpet. And his articulation, his soulfulness is perfect, and it's easy to play as a trumpet player. So that's why Michael Jackson songs for trumpet players, as far as I'm concerned, are a lot easier to bring to light in terms of doing a cover tune.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying the song You Rock My World, I mean, it's a tune that I've loved ever since it came out. I don't necessarily think it got, because Michael Jackson has so many hits and so many memorable tunes, that by the time that song came out, Doc Child produced it. I know it was a good video with Chris Tucker and you know, his guys. But, you know, a lot of his other stuff kind of overshadows that song, and so nobody had really done it. And I felt like, hey, man, you know, somebody has to pay homage to that tune because it's rocking, and it's a little more up-to-date Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so definitely. Now, remember when you first came on, I told you that the ladies in the chat room were going to love your voice. So a couple of them are asking for you to say their names.
No.
If you would say Lori and Carol in Anita's name so they can calm down, we can move
on
with the show.
That's funny. What's the first name?
Lori.
Hi, Lori. How you doing?
And Carol.
Hey, Carol.
And Miss Anita.
Miss Anita. What you got going on tonight?
Ooh. There you go, ladies. There you go. Man has a nice voice. Wow, very nice voice. Okay. All right, Lynn, let's start with you playing the trumpet and choosing the trumpet at 11 years old to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I chose, you know, it was a way to get out of class. You know, you're in the fifth grade and you know, you're trying to get out of fourth, fifth grade, trying to get out of class. The teacher says, you know, you pick up an instrument and you can go, you know, for an hour, three times a week and get out and kind of horse around. And so that's what I did. But there weren't any trumpet players, so I said, well, I'll play the trumpet. And, you know, once I learned how to buzz it and play a little bit, it kind of started to grow on me. And, you know, I kept playing it from that point forward throughout the rest of my my school career and up to now. So, I mean, it started out as a way to get out and get some release out of the regular class, which is, you know, I kind of segue into, you know, making sure that we keep music education in a lot of schools. So it's disappearing in a lot of our schools. But, it's the path that it led me on. It's kind of on the humbug. And here I am today.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, now, Lynn, with you playing the trumpet as an instrument of your choice, has there been a factor in you getting gigs, or have you ever considered changing instruments because you could have been an instrument that it's not a saxophone.
Nah, trumpet is. I know exactly where you're going with that. Trumpet is a tough instrument because it's so physical. I mean, you're using some of the smallest muscles in your body constantly with your lips, and you know you have to produce sound, you know, and notes from primarily your lips because you only have three vowels. And around those three vowels, you have to, you know, really utilize your, you know, lip inflections to get different notes. And that's why it becomes so tough and challenging and demanding. Plus, you know, it doesn't lend itself sometimes the way it's played to be, you know, an R&B solo type instrument, even though, you know, trumpets have been around and trumpets always have been leaders in jazz, traditional jazz bands. When it comes to R&B, people really think of trumpets as horn sections and, you know, playing horn licks and playing loud and high and screeching and all this other stuff. They're not really known as sexy instruments. Well, you know, when I played, you know, I had a good sound out of the trumpet the way I play, even before my technique, you know, was fully developed. I always had a great sound. And so, you know, a couple of the legendary people that I studied with and played around in jam sessions kept saying, hey, look, man, your articulation is going to get there. We see you trying, but you got that sound, man. You got the sound, and you know, you got to make that happen. You got to make that a cornerstone of your playing because that's going to, you know, put you where you need to be in the whole R&B soul thing. And so that's where I am now. But, you know, to your question about being hired, you know, looking for a sideman gig, people don't consider trumpet players for sidemen. They consider saxophones, you know, they consider guitar players, vocalists, but, you know, it's tough to get a sideman gig as a trumpet player because of the way people perceive a trumpet's been played until they hear me. And in order to get people to hear you, well, for me, I had to go out and do my own thing. So I had to go get a band, start a band, and start showing people that, hey, the trumpet can be a good, sexy lead instrument in an R&B environment, in a soul environment. You know, especially you throw that mute on, too, or you pull out the flugelhorn, or you can play the horn like I play it. You know, it's something to be said about a trumpet.
But you've been playing the trumpet since you were 11 years old, and that has been like your lead, you know, the lead instrument. So have you've never been discouraged in choosing another instrument and playing another instrument, you know, so that you can play maybe solo parts or you can get more gigs?
Oh, I get discouraged today. I'm still discouraged. I'm just joking. The trumpet is, that's, you know, I see exactly what you're talking about. No, I haven't gotten discouraged because with a trumpet, you know, sometimes it's such a tough instrument. You got to really, 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 it's a physical instrument. So you got to play and play and play. So once you get locked into it, it's tough to switch out and go somewhere else. Now, you do want to play keyboard, and that's where, when I started banging out chords and doing production, that's where I saw myself being able to branch out and be a little more versatile. Yeah, I can be a trumpet player, but I can also be a producer. I've produced most of the songs on all three of my projects, and I can create music and write music, and I think, and also arrange and put a band together and put shows together, and that's what I think, you know, creates, you know, some versatility. I mean, a perfect example is Quincy Jones, who a lot of people don't even know started out as a trumpet player. I think, you know, the movie Ray brought light to the fact that Quincy Jones was a trumpet player trying to sit in with Legends too. He was able to take that though and become an arranger and a band leader and then a super producer and come full circle and be very versatile, but still his main instrument is the trumpet.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
And, and you know, man, I gotta mention this because like I said, you know, I'm down here in D.C., man. I read that you went to Duke Ellington School down here in D.C.
You know, I took some development classes over there. I didn't go to the school, but I did go and take development program. I did do a development program for aspiring artists over at Duke Ellington. I even performed in I performed in one of their one of the talent showcases as a result of one of those sessions that I sat in on and learned a whole lot from. And we were able to experience a lot, even some you know, well-known jazz musicians would come through and give us advice and teach us and set us on the right path in terms of what to do and how to approach music theoretically, particularly in jazz, and also, you know, from your soul, from your heart, how to play. And, you know, one of the greatest mantras of Duke Ellington and Count Basie and all those guys, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing, and that's what they were always pushing into our head.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's move right into Soul Tree because I want to get to this song. I think I'm going to play that one second, and I'll play another one first. But tell us about this next CD of yours, Soul Tree.
Oh man, it's a culmination of things. You know, I've listened to a lot of music coming up, and you know, I've always had a special place in my heart for R&B and soul music. You know, my parents, you know, could listen to gospel and listen to great R&B every morning when I wake up. And, you know, I kind of came up in the beginning stages of hip hop and when all that stuff was coming around. And, you know, when I started to learn about jazz and understand the technique and jazz and the theory behind jazz, I still wanted to be able to transcend a lot of the stuff that I learned into R&B and soul. And this is what this project is. My first project, Groove Tree, was a raw project because I hadn't been inside of smooth jazz and didn't really, you know, wasn't, you know, into where it needed to be commercial. So it was raw, and that's why a lot of people still like it to this day, the raw earthiness, urban feel of Groove Tree. With Something Good, my second CD, my sophomore project, I had gotten to a point where, you know, people had started to recognize my music, and we were going for that smooth jazz type sound. But on Soul Tree, we're going back to that raw sound that we got on Groove Tree, that people started to say, well, Roundtree's bridging the gap between, you know, smooth jazz and funk and soul, and reaching back to some of the younger people and the younger ears with some of those deep grooves. So that's what you're going to find on Soul Tree. You're going to find deep grooves, a lot of soul. I have actually six vocal tracks on the project. You know, I had multiple vocalists come in and bless me with their talents on the over some of the tracks. And so, but all of these tracks you know, and of course I've got two cover tunes, which I hadn't done in the last two projects. I got the Music Soul Child tune and the Michael Jackson tune. And I just feel like it's just a progression, and it's a culmination of the type of music that I really, really want to play and do now that I'm independent.
Okay. And who's working with you on this CD?
Oh, man, I got Kanye Doss, bless me, on two tracks. Got a young lady up and coming, songstress, Miss El Renee. She's out touring with Kim in another month. She blessed me on a track with Aaron Abernathy. Ab is what they call him. He sings with Eric Roberson. He came in and lent his vocals on a track called Feeling. It's another hot track. Althea Renee, a flautist extraordinaire, we played together at the Capitol Jazz Fest and came up together in Detroit. She since moved to Texas, but she blessed me on a track. Also, Gail Johnson, pianist and MD for Norman Brown, played on a track with me. A couple other vocalists around the city, Miss Valencia, up and coming, R&B sensation, soul sensation, and Larae Starr and Kendrick Jackson on a tune for the Steppers out there. We didn't leave the Steppers out of the loop. So they're on a nice, nice, lighthearted tune called Spend My Time With You. And also okay. My former singer that came up with me through the trenches, you know, with up close days, and wrote another hit song for me on the first CD. She didn't sing it, but she wrote it, The Message. She's on this album blessing me with her vocal skills, Miss Michelle Nicole.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to start with the soundtrack from the CD, Soul Tree. We are speaking to trumpeter Lynn Rountree. If you would like to call in and ask him a question, the number is 646-716-5485. And chat room, I will take your questions as well. And Lori, I saw your question, and I will get that to him after this song. From the Soul Tree CD, here is the title track. Very nice, very nice. That was the title track from Lynn Roundtree's CD, Soul Tree. Lynn, I want to let you know that Farnell Newton just came into the chat room to support you. And also, James Morgan is in the chat room. He said he went to school with you.
Yeah, he's my chapter brother, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, Upsilon Psi Chapter. And Farnell,
right.
Man, thanks for listening in, brother. I've been an admirer for some time. I missed you in Atlanta. I thought I saw you with Mike Philly one time, and couldn't get up to holler at you, man. But I want to run into you again, man. I love your music.
All right. Now, the question that Lori had, she said that she had heard that playing the trumpet, I heard that she says, I hear about folks fainting if you do not play it right. Is that correct?
You can get lightheaded. I don't know about that. Yeah, you can get lightheaded if you attempt to play a high note without proper execution. And proper air support, and you blow into, you know, how people kind of tell you not to hold your nose when you or not to hold your sneeze in when you blow, when you sneeze, mm-hmm. not to hold it in to let it out. You know, a certain way that you have to position yourself and produce your air so that you don't get lightheaded when you go up and hit notes up in the higher register. So yeah, that's accurate. I've never passed out. I'm not sure that I know too many people who have, but. Certainly have been lightheaded and close to it. So, yeah, Lori, it's a challenge.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Now, I want to ask you a quick question about you were saying that, you know, getting a sideman gig in most bands are kind of hard, but, you know, when you had the opportunity, you formed your own group called Up Close. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I did, and that was as a result of, you know, well, I mean, and also, excuse me, I've been kind of a go-getter as well. That's my nature. You know, you don't want to sit around and wait for somebody to give you opportunity. You want to create opportunities for yourself. And I guess if I had played long enough, and you know, somebody may have picked me up as a sideman, but, you know, I figured that the quickest way to get out there and start, you know, getting it and getting at it was to just form my own group, you know. And, you know, I kind of went into it with the notion that, you know, I'm going to take baby steps and, you know, I'm going to get, you know, some players that want to work. We're going to get this music together. I'm going to get a vocalist out. I really didn't have a grandiose idea of where I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to get out there and play. And the best way to play and play my music and take as many solos as I want, as long as I want to do, is to have my own band. And that's what I did, and you know, the rest kind of fell into place. You know, once you do things, once you take one step forward, you kind of start seeing what kind of path you can take yourself on in your musical journey or in your journey, whatever you do. But it's about taking that path and taking the initiative and not waiting, not sitting around waiting for somebody to give you something or to get you somewhere. Just pushing it off for yourself, creating an opportunity, and then doors will start to open.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Totally 100% agree. Lori would like to know, what part of Detroit did you grow up in?
Well, I didn't grow up in Detroit. I actually hail from the Washington, D.C. area, out in Alexandria. That's where I grew up. But I moved to Detroit probably about 11 years ago, and I've lived on the west side. in the city for about 4 years, and then I moved out to Farmington Hills. So you know, I've lived in Farmington and I lived in West Bloomfield. So
okay. All right, now I'm going to play this cover. Oh my gosh, you rock my world. Lynn does a great job on the cover of this song, and with the trumpet, you know, it just brings a whole different feel to it. So this is You Rock My World.
Thank you.
Love it. Love it.
Thank you. I'm stamping that one, Terry. High fire. Thank you. Appreciate it. Oh my gosh. Yes. I had to leave that guitar solo in the back because when he played, I thought it might have been a little over the top, but we kept listening to it, and we said, no, nah, man, we have to leave. And my manager said, man, if you take that out, man, I'm going to take you out.
And who is the guitarist?
Mr. Daryl Dixon. He is an unsung hero, one of the heroes here in Detroit. He plays with frequently with Aretha Franklin. He's her guitar player, and among other people. And he plays all over my CD, all over all three of my CDs. He's blessed me with his guitar work. But I it's the first time I really, you know, he really hung out on a solo. Usually he's doing the color guitar on all of the tracks, but this one, I said, man, let him just hang out on this one.
Yes, he did. And this is going to be the first single released on the CD, so definitely check this out and get this CD. Definitely pick up that CD for sure.
Yeah.
Mike, let me ask this one question. Anita had a question. Let me ask that. Anita wanted to know if there's anyone that you would like to work with, possibly do a collaboration.
Oh, man, everybody. Ledisi comes to mind in terms of vocalists, Sam Michelle, any one of the vocalists out here, up-and-coming vocalists especially. Some of your traditional guys like Maxwell's and their music. And in terms of instrumentalists, Mr. Brian Culberson, anybody out there that's grooving and funky, man, I'm down. You know, Eric Darius, me and Eric Darius actually talked about doing some things together. We just never hooked up. Mike Phillips, we talked about doing some things too, which is in passing. But I mean, you know, as many collaborations as I can do, I feel the better. I mean, that's the way music is going. People are working together now. But you can't, see a popular song now where somebody's not featured or, singing with somebody or on somebody's track. It's just better, when you have two different flavors on a track, or two or even three.
Okay. All right, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, and that was where I was going with my question. You hooked up with a young lady named Tanya Doss. And how did you guys hook up on the CD?
You know, she we worked together for quite some time, about 3 years prior to her even doing this on the CD. She had come up to Detroit. You know, Detroit's a little hotbed for the neo-soul people coming up. And, I tried to immerse myself in it, so I would go and try to sit in and sometimes would have a house band for some of the people that would come through. And Kanye was one of those people that came through on a show, and we had a house band for her, and she liked what I did. And she asked me to come play with her on a show down at the African World Fest, I think, or the African Heritage Fest down in Baltimore. I think it was 2008. And so I went down there, and then I returned the favor by having her on one of my shows that I had back up in on a boat, on a cruise that we do every year, the Q's up here. And, from there we just, had a musical relationship. And so when I reached out to her and said, I got some hot tracks on the album Soul Tree coming up, I'd like you to sing on them. I sent it to her. She was like, absolutely. And, she did. I said, well, would you mind doing another one? When we did the first one, what did you do? It came out so good. I said, well, I got another open track for you. She said, yep, I'll do it. And so we're doing that song too. She was saying that. So she did two on the album.
Yeah. You guys did a great job. Great job.
Thank you.
All right. A question from the chat room. Jazzy Chick would like to know, are you on tour?
I am not on tour currently doing spot dates, but as this single is released on January 31st and starts to hopefully get picked up, I will be aggressively pursuing opportunities around the country to where I can get out and play live to as many people as I can. So, yes, we've got some things in the works right now in support of this single, and I'll be doing a tour nationally very shortly.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask you about your time at Florida A&M. You performed in the famous Marching 100 band.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, during that time, how did you see that experience contributing to your career as a musician?
It definitely, the first word is perseverance, because mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, when you get south of the Mason-Dixon line, you know, things get tough in terms of you know, the way they bring you into organizations, and it certainly was a challenge just even becoming a freshman and a fully fledged member of March 100. They put you through a process. It really takes a lot of perseverance and a lot of strength, a lot of fortitude to get through that process. And, you know, I liken that to the challenges that we have as musicians out here, particularly as, you know, as the market is changing for musicians. It's just tough. You got to keep pushing forward. You got to keep developing yourself. And you're not going to be successful all of the time. You're going to have pitfalls. But you got to continue to stay strong, continue to stay focused on you know, what your goal is and where you want to be, and you'll get there. And so, you know, particularly also, you know, just immersing myself into the music and understanding jazz, understand how to play, because, of course, you know, when I went down there, I wasn't really the greatest trumpet player. I had a great sound and a great attitude, but being around so many great trumpet players, I mean, you come down there, you guys that played and sounded like Wynton Marsalis. In ways, and even Wynton came through there sometimes, and some of the other people will come through and bless us, Scotty Barnhart, and a lot of these guys would come through, and you just got to see that level, and it gave you something to kind of strive for, like, okay, well, you know, I got this guy who's my age who's playing his butt off, how can I get to his level? Then you got the guys like Wynton coming through that are playing and making a whole lot of money doing it and making a career out of it, and you say, well, how can we get to that level? And so that's what playing in the marching band exposed me to as well. Also instrumentation and how to put together arrangements and all that good stuff. And it got you into shape. You create the big lungs because you had to march in that 20-pound uniform in swelter and 100-degree Florida heat at Bragg Stadium, where the grass was like thick carpet. And so you definitely had to get some endurance and stamina and learn how to blow.
Okay. Now, tell us about your trip to China.
I mean, it was a beautiful experience. I endorse Wiseman horns and Wiseman trumpets and tuba horns. And actually, you know, when they told me, you know, that they would endorse, they wanted me to endorse the product, they asked me for some suggestions. And I said, well, you know, you can do this, you can do that. I like a bigger bore horn. I play on about 470 bore horn, like the reverse lead pipe. And they had something similar, but it wasn't exact. And they said, well, you know what, how about this? Why don't you go to China, their factory, and talk to some of the people in the factory about, you know, what you like. And we can arrange a trip over there for that. You can do some shows, and you can give some lectures and make some appearances at a couple of universities there, music universities. I said, well, I'm down. Sign me up. And so we went over there, and myself and a saxophone, a young saxophonist named Shelby Brown, who's also a co-endorsee on their line of saxes, went over there and stayed for a couple of weeks. We did shows. We went to university. We played. We ate good food, real Chinese food. There's nothing like the Chinese food that we have over here. And I was able to be very instrumental in creating the horn that I play on now. And they gave it to me as a signature line when I came back. I was, you know, I was impressed. I mean, I hadn't known that they were creating a signature line, a Lynn Roundtree line of horns, but they actually did. And I'm so happy that I was able to experience that and get over there.
How cool is that? How cool is that? All right. Well, I'm getting back to some more music.
Can I make a request? I got to make a request because, you know, you had your favorite with the Rock My World. I want to get mine in because this track is hot. Let's go get them. Let's go get it. Let's go get them.
Let's go get it. Yeah, let's go get whoever. Let's go get it. Whatever.
Love that one.
Okay.
That's why I wrote that. That's the first track on the CD. Let's go get it.
Yes. I love that one. Play that's
all right.
Hot.
All right, here we go. Let's go get it.
Mm-hmm.
right now. Show enough funky there.
I love the groove on that one. I'm telling you, listen, you can two-step on that thing all day, okay?
That's why I felt the music this time. That's where I felt it.
Well, you got me to it, brother.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Definitely, definitely. We are talking to trumpeter Lynn Roundtree. You are hearing music from his new CD, Soul Tree. Definitely pick this up. Lynn, when will this be available?
Well, this will be available really soon on iTunes, probably within, probably by tomorrow it'll be active and live on iTunes. Give it a couple of days, and it should be then on Amazon MP3 and Amazon On Demand, where you can just get the whole CD. And then all the other outfits, Napster, Rhapsody, all the other digital media will start to pick it up in about 2 weeks' time. But definitely on iTunes and Amazon MP3. iTunes should be out tomorrow, Amazon MP3 next week. And we're going to try to get it into stores soon as well, so you'd at least be able to order it on through Borders and through all the other online outfits like that. But from now, you can definitely get it off of those digital mediums.
Okay. All right. Well, you are the third trumpeter that we have interviewed this week, and I will be adding all of your music to my playlist.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Definitely yours and Farnell Newton's and Isaac Byrd, all of your music I definitely will be adding to my playlist. I mentioned yesterday that I've never been really a trumpet person when it comes to jazz and stuff, but when I think it changed for me when Cindy Bradley came out, and by her playing the trumpet, I just had a whole different love for it. And
yes,
now listening to you and Farnell Newton and Isaac Byrd, you guys have really, really done a great job with the trumpet and introducing it to jazz in a different way.
Well, you know what? It's so funny because a lot of people echo that same sentiment. And people still to this day call me a saxophone player. Oh, man, it's Lynn Rounds from my saxophone playing friend. I'm like, no, man, I'm a trumpet player. But, it's funny because even the number one most requested smooth jazz song out there is Chuck Mangione's Feel So Good. And people don't realize that that's a flugelhorn, it's basically a trumpet. And the second most requested song is Rise by Herb Albert.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And the third most requested song is Human Nature, Miles Davis, and that's a trumpet. And so, you know, the trumpet players are out there, and it seems like, you know, you got Chris Bode, Rick Braun, Greg Adams, Freddie Hubbard was doing his thing a little bit in smooth jazz, played some of his smooth jazz songs. And, when they're out there, they're solid. I just don't get it sometimes when the trumpet players don't get more recognition, but I think this might be the year of the trumpet. So I appreciate everything that Farnell's doing, that Isaac's doing, that Cindy's doing, that I'm trying to do to bring us out. Maybe we can get more than one trumpet player on a festival too, because, you know, you look at some of these festivals and the saxophone players rule. I love them to death, but there's a little room for some trumpet players too.
There you go.
I agree, definitely. And you guys are bringing it. You are bringing it. I mean, even Farnell is working with hip hop artists and people like Bootsy Collins, in, you know, bringing a non-traditional instrument to hip hop and funk. That's never happened before. You know, so you guys are really bringing the trumpet in a whole new way. So I just want to say kudos to you guys. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Thank you.
All right, so what's coming up for you? What do you got planned for 2011?
2011, I'm just going to try and stay focused on getting this music to as many people as I can, all avenues. My management team's got a lot of good things in the works, maybe some endorsement things with different people and different outfits. We'll try to catch some of the tours that are coming out. Certainly, some of the festivals that are coming out. I might be in Jacksonville. I might be back in Phoenix. I might be over at Spaghettini's in LA. Definitely, I'll be back in DC a couple of times for a few things. Definitely up in the New England area, down in Florida as well. I'll be down there, down in St. Louis, definitely Chicago probably a few times, Milwaukee maybe once. So a lot of the things that are coming through, you know, will start to ramp up, and anybody can go. My website is under construction right now, LynnRoundtree.com. It'll be up and active again in about 2 weeks. But I'll certainly have everything synced to where if it's not my website, you'll be able to go on Facebook, just like me on my Facebook page, Reverb Nation or MySpace, and you'll have an updated listing of where I'm going to be performing. So hopefully be coming somewhere near you real soon.
Yeah. Okay, and what is your Twitter name?
My Twitter, I knew you were going to ask that. I think my Twitter name is Lynn. Lynn Roundtree. I'm pretty sure it's Lynn Roundtree. That's the one thing that I have to get into, the Twitter. I'm trying to get ramped up with Twitter. I've got Facebook down. I've got MySpace and Reverb Nation down. But the Twitter thing, I think it's Lynn Roundtree. So if somebody goes on and sees if it's Lynn Roundtree, maybe we can confirm that.
Yeah, it is. It is. I got your message today, and I am following you as well. So thank you for following me.
Yeah, and somebody. Mm-hmm. So you can see I only have 26 followers or 20-something followers, so I'm just getting into it.
All right. Well, everybody follow Lynn Roundtree on Twitter. It is his name, L-I-N, the first name, Roundtree, R-O-U-N-T-R-E-E, no D.
No
D. All right, and follow him on Twitter. So let's get him some followers. All right. Okay, Mike, did you have any more questions?
Well, just one. I know that, like I said, Lynn, once he grew up in Alexandria and everything, and I actually met Lynn personally last year. You probably don't remember. He was at the Capitol Jazz Fest last year for the Friday night jam session. But coming back to Capitol Jazz and Blues Alley, when you played, how did it feel like, how did it feel coming home to play?
Oh, man. Growing up, I had come to Blues Alley a couple times to see different people, and never in my wildest dreams had imagined me being on stage at Blues Alley. I mean, Blues Alley is such a famed place. With, you know, anybody has played at Blues Alley has stood on that stage and played. I mean, no matter how big or small you've been, if you're somebody in music and doing something serious and you're coming through D.C., you play Blues Alley. I never thought that would be me, so it was such a blessing to be able to come home. You know, to where I grew up, to where I'd seen so many people, and actually stand on that stage and stand up in the dress room and get ready. You know, I did one show, and then they had me back. I did another show, and that show went extremely well. We sold a sold-out ticket. I didn't even know I had many fans in D.C. You know, I sold the room out two shows, and place was packed out. And I'm probably going to be back down there sometime around May, so... You know, and a couple other things. I don't want to divulge anything that, you know, may be coming down the pipes or in the works. But you'll find out about more stuff in the D.C. metro area. And I'll be happy to be down there. I've got a lot of friends and family still down there that are waiting and chomping at the bit for me to come back and play.
That's right.
All right. All right, then. Well, Lynn, it has been such a pleasure having you on Talking to Smooth Jazz. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to you.
Pleasure's been all mine. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it from the heart.
All right. Well, you have a great evening, and we look forward to Soul Tree. I definitely will be picking up this CD, and I hope everyone else will as well. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you.
Well, you guys make sure you send me your addresses, and we'll make sure you get some copies.
Okay. All right. We'll do. Definitely we'll do that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
You have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. That was Lynn Roundtree. His CD is called Soul Tree. It will be available, as he said, very soon. You can definitely pick it up on Amazon. And the first single being released on that is going to be You Rock My World. So you definitely have to pick this CD up. And also, you know, support the artist. The best thing that you can do for an artist is, number one, is support them by buying their music and buying a ticket to their concert and going and seeing them play live. It's the best ways you can support an artist, because this is their livelihood. This is how they make their money. This is, you know, how they pay their bills. So we need to support these artists at all times as much as we can. So a lot of us travel to concerts and jazz fests And, you know, we love our artists. We love Smooth Jazz and we love the artists. So this is definitely a way that you can support them by buying their music, number one, legally, not illegally, but buying it legally, please. And then just pay for a concert ticket and go see them perform live, definitely.
That's right.
All right, Mike, you have anything to add?
No, just like I said, you said it right there, just support the artist, and this is how we keep smooth jazz or contemporary jazz alive, by supporting these young artists that are coming up. And Lynn is definitely a part of the new generation of jazz players, definitely, the guys had.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely, man, for sure. All right, so again, this weekend, we are not on the air because my birthday is Friday, and I am going to Seattle with Miss Lori and Miss Anita, and we are going to go see Peter White and hang out in my favorite city, Seattle. I'm looking forward to that. I have to give a huge, huge, huge thank you to Miss Tamara for making that possible. So she will never, ever, ever know how much it meant to me for what she did. So thank you, Tamara, again. And Miss Lori and Miss Anita, I will see you all on Friday morning in Seattle. Looking forward to that. Thanks to all of you in the chat room, Anita, Bonnie Fan, Carol, Granny Tranny, all of the guests. James Morgan, thank you for stopping by. Ken Pettigrew, my cousin Carrie, Korea, thank you for hanging out, Korea. Lori, Rosa, thank you all for hanging out with us this evening. And we will be back on Monday, the 24th, with Marcus Johnson. He has a new CD out as part of his Flow series. So we will be talking to him about that on Monday, January 24th. All right. Yes. You have been listening to... I'm sorry, did you have something else to say?
I just wanted to say happy birthday to you. I know I won't, you know, well, officially I'll be talking to you before then, but on the air I won't be. So I want to say happy birthday to you. I would sing it to you, but, right, you know, I don't want to get into singing right now. But, you know, I want to go sing.
Go ahead, give it a shot.
She made me laugh. You cut me off. But, you know, I don't want to get into no singing right now. I got a beautiful voice, but I just don't want to do it right now.
Oh.
I don't want to show it right now. I'll show it later on, another time. But you know, I just want to say happy birthday to
he
you.
He said he got
and,
a beautiful voice, but he won't sing.
I can sing. I can bring it, okay? I can bring down the house, but I don't want to do it right now. But I just want to say happy birthday to you, and you have a great time up in Seattle. And I know you've been wanting to get up there for a while. So like I said, just enjoy yourself and, you know, and take a lot of pictures. Take a lot of pictures.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I definitely will. All right, I'm going to close the show with another song from Soul Tree. This is called I Didn't Know. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next time. Until then, keep it smooth.